Good morning. Good to see everyone here. I might have lost a few to Ironman. It's always a struggle to get to church and maybe to get back home from church. I think that's the real issue on today's date. But I am glad that each of you are here. And today's going to be a little bit different, but hopefully it'll still be the same in some regard. Last week, I asked you if you would commit to inviting someone to church, and I told you that this week I'm going to ask you if you did. So if you invited someone to join you today or to come to our church or even to visit the truelife.org website for more information about answers to life's hard questions, would you raise your hand? Amen. All right. Still got a few that need to work on it. That's okay. You can put your hands down. If you were not here last week, now there's some people who sent me texts. They're like, well, I'm not going to be here today. They're traveling. One family's like, we invited like seven people. So if you came and you're looking for the family that invited you, they're not here. They're in Tennessee today. But anyway, I have heard a lot of really good feedback. And then I've had a little bit of feedback that said, hey, I feel like I might have blown it with someone because I invited them to church. They were having a spiritual dialogue, and then when they invited them to church, they felt like a wall went up. And so I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit be your guide. And we also have, the reason we have on the back of that card, truelife.org, is because we know that some people aren't going to come to church. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. Matter of fact, most people are not going to come to church. We want you to invite folks to be a part of what God's doing here. We want you to invite folks to this service to be able to hear the gospel, to be able to experience the Christian fellowship. But most people may not do that. But you can still direct them to truelife.org to get answers to their questions, and you can use this as a tool to have a spiritual conversation, a gospel conversation with people. And that's what we want. So please follow the Spirit's leading in doing that. But I want to encourage you. I'm going to ask you again next week. Actually, I'm not. Someone else is going to ask you next week. Did you invite someone to church or direct them to the truelife.org? And we may even say, or did you have a spiritual conversation, a gospel conversation with someone as well, okay? And so please use those as the Lord leads you. And then also, I just want to encourage everyone here, go to the website, the truelife.org website, and watch some of those videos. Has anyone been there? Did anyone go and watch any videos? There's a few people, a few hands. There are phenomenal, well-done videos that do answer a lot of the questions that we have and that other people have as well. So thank you for doing that. And if you do need more cards, there should be some out and about. And then I also have some more down here on the front row that you can come and get after church as well. Now, as inviting people to our church is a great thing to do. It is a good thing to invite them to the service. And providing answers to life's hard questions and presenting the gospel and the process of that and the truth of what God's Word says, that is extremely important, and it's a great thing to do. And that's why we're doing that. But as I alluded to earlier, inviting people alone is not enough. Inviting people is not enough. It is a form of exposing people to the truth of God's Word. People, if you invite them, it may open up the door to have a conversation. It may close the door, but inviting is not enough. Many people will never come to a worship service. Now, Gen X, that's my generation, I guess. I'm Gen X. 85% of Gen Xers have had an adult church experience. It is an experience as an adult in a church. 85% of my generation. The next generation, the millennials, who are now in their 20s, only 15% of them have had an experience in church as an adult. So I want you to look at one generation. My generation, Bronson, I'm going to use Bronson's generation. It's gone from only 15% of adults not having an experience in church to 85% of adults not having an experience in church. So with my generation, nearly everyone, all but 15% of us, all but 15% of us, which leaves the 85, we have attended church, we have gone to a service, we've done something as an adult. For this other group of people, the millennials, only a small group of them, only 15% of them have had an experience in a service like what we're talking about as an adult. And then they're saying is the next generation, Generation Z, is that what they're calling that? Anybody know? They're predicting that generation may only have 2% of its people when they're adults having an adult church experience. So, inviting people to a service is not always going to work. We're already seeing that. Inviting, and then if our service is, if what we're doing here is what we're doing to make disciples, then that means we will not be making disciples because people won't be coming. And we're already seeing that. Church attendance all around has been declining for years, continues to decline. Christian churches, or church, not just like the Christian denomination, but evangelical Protestants as well as other mainline Protestants and other denominations, their churches like ours are kind of fading away, and they're all pulling the resources into larger congregations. And you see this all over the place. That's what's going on. It's declining. And so that's why we're talking about what we're doing. It's one of the reasons why I do want you to invite some folks to church. We have 65,000 people in Oldham County. Now, our Baptist Association is the Oldham Trimble Baptist Association, so we have the Trimble County churches are part of us. But in our county, the number of people is approximately 65,000 people. But only 12,000 of those people, that's 20%, identify as evangelical Christians. Okay, so in our county, in Oldham County, 65,000 people, you know, from Prospect to Ballardsville, you know, from, I guess it's Pendleton, or I don't know where the county line is up there, to Pee Wee Valley, 65,000 people, 12% or 12,000, 20% people identify as Protestant evangelical. But only half of those people ever go to church. So even in our county, of the 12,000 Christians that say they're here, that say they're evangelical Christians, is what we would identify as, only 6,000 will ever attend a service. And that's in our county. I'm not talking about L.A. or Louisville. I'm talking about Oldham County. Only 6,000 people will ever do that. And if only half of the so-called evangelical Christians attend church, we can't really expect lost people to, can we? I mean, can we? If only half of us are coming, if only half of us attend the service, only half. And that's including those that only come a few weeks and then are off a few weeks and come a few weeks. They're in the 6,000. There's 12,000, they just don't show up. It's never going to be there. And so if people who claim the name of Christ, who believe they're evangelical Christian, who believe they're conservative, believe in theology, believe the Bible's right, they believe in evangelism, they believe in sharing Jesus, if half of those people in our county are not coming to a church service like what we call this here, this is a service, if they're not coming to participate in this, then we cannot expect that lost people are going to. They might. They might not. But it cannot be our normal mode of operation. And if this is the only tool that we have, our Sunday morning Sunday schools and our service here that we have and our Wednesday night, if this is the only tool that we're going to use to make disciples, then I'm going to tell you we're not going to be making many disciples because people aren't showing up. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when the country was identified as a Christian nation, and it was a virtue to be a part of a congregation, to be a part of, to be a member in it. People looked up on that. If you were a salesman in the community, people would know, well, what church you go to? It was a good thing to be a part of a local church and a local assembly. Nowadays, it's no longer a virtue in the eyes of the world. People look down on us. So that's why we're here today. That's why we're sharing the things that we're sharing. Think about this, some more statistics. This is what's happening in our county. The total number of nons, you all know what nons are? When they take the census, and then what religion do you identify with? What faith do you identify with? So there's Baptist, there's Protestant, there's mainline Protestant, there's Catholic, there's Buddhist, Hindus, all this stuff. And then there's a group called nons. Zero. I don't have any religious affiliation. None. Nuns, I think is what they call them. I call them nons because nuns sound like a Catholic nun. I'm not talking about nuns. I'm talking about nons. That's the East Tennessee version of nuns. And so these are people who say, hey, I don't identify. The number of nuns or nons, people that are not identified with any faith, between the year 2010 or between the year 2000 and the year 2010 grew by 91% in Oldham County. I'm not talking about Louisville. I'm talking about here in this county that we call home. The number went from 17,000 people in the year 2000 to 32,000 in the year 2010. Now, it's almost been another 10 years because we're in 2017, about to be in 2018. So, I just wonder what the number is now. That's 54% of the people in our county who have zero faith affiliation. They're nuns or nons. And all of this is to say, as important as inviting people is, and it is, that's why we've got the cards, why we did a whole sermon series on it, this is why we're asking people to give out the cards, that's why they're right here, as important as inviting people to a service is, many will not come. And they need to be discipled another way. They need to be encountered with the truth of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the forgiveness of God, the salvation of God, the gospel of God in some other way, because it doesn't matter what we do, they're not going to come. They're not. We can get a fancier light show. We can put seats in versus pews. We can change the foyer. We can get brighter screens and crisper LEDs. And those things are simply tools. Sometimes we need them, sometimes we don't. But as soon as we get one, if that's our mode of operation, then someone else down the road is just going to have a better seat, a better projector, a better this, a better that, a better that. After a few years, what once was the best becomes okay. It cannot be our normal mode of operation. That's one of the reasons why we partnered with TrueLife.org. Is because we want people to get those answers. Because today, you know how people get their answers? How do I get my answers? I Google it. I do. I Google my, I don't care what the question is. I'll Google it. If I don't know the answer, I can say, call my dad. Calls my dad. Call my wife. Calls my wife. What's the weather? Tells me the weather. How do I get to Florida? Tells me how to get to Florida. Tells me how to do everything. People in our world are used to going to the internet for their information. It's one of the ways people get their information. That's why TrueLife.org is a tool that can help us get the right answers, gospel answers, into the hands of people. That's why that's there. It's important. But another thing that people want today and people crave today is relationships. Every generation craves relationships. I hear people say, well, you know, the millennials, they just want relationships. No. Well, you know, the Generation Xers wanted relationships too, and then the ones before that, they wanted relationships, and the Generation Z's guys, everybody wants relationships. We all want relationships. We all want to be loved. We all want to share our life and the intimate details of our life with someone else who loves us and has compassion on us, going to love us no matter what we're going through, don't we? Isn't that every generation? Isn't that, that's just a human condition. That's all of us. That's us. And people want relationships. And because so many people will never come to a service that we have, we need to begin going and making disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We have that verse. The Bible says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is a pretty big statement. Go, therefore, it's a participle. Go is a participle. It's not a command. It means going, as you're going, while you're going, as you're living your life in the normal rhythms of life, when you're at the ball game, when you're at the grocery store, when you're wherever you are, encountering the people that you encounter, as you're going, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. As you're going, make disciples. It is as we are going that disciples are made. The things that we do here in our service and all the tools that we have, whether it be lighting and technology or parking lot and bushes or people and curriculum, all of those things are a tool to help us in the process of disciple making. But are we making disciples? That's the real question. Today we're going to look at another tool, a tool that's being used all over our country to turn everyday conversations into gospel conversations. Remember in Acts 1:8, we read it last week, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is you who are the missionaries. It is us who are the missionaries. It's not just the job of the pastor. It's not just the job of the apostles. It's not just the job of the associate pastors or even the Sunday school teachers or even the lay leaders. It is the responsibility that the Lord gives to all of us. Make disciples. That's it. Just make disciples. If a service helps you make disciples, have a service. If screens and projection help you make do that. But sometimes we don't even get them to the screens, and we don't even get them to the service. And they're never going to come. And that's why Jesus says, as you're going, as you go, that's what you do. You are God's missionaries. You have the news that people need to hear about God, making a way for people to be right with Him. You have that news. And what we're going to be sharing over the next 3 weeks is conversational and relational way to tell people about that. And it all starts with God's design. And that's where we are today. Now, you all have a bulletin, right, like this. Okay? I want you, if I write something up here, you can write. I'm going to try it. I'm going to attempt to make those circles there. We'll have it on the screen as well. But you have that. If you don't have a bulletin, that's okay. In the pew beside you, there is a stack of papers, and there should be some pens. And so if you're at the end, why don't you look down and make sure that everyone has something they can write on, whether it's a bulletin or something else, and that they have a pen. Okay? A lot of our youth already know this because Bronson has already talked to them about it, and they're already using this to have gospel conversations with people that they come in contact with. And so, Hopefully you'll see this. If not, look at the paper, look at the screen. Give it right there. Okay? Write in this. God's design. I don't know if you can see that. It's okay, I can. God's design. Okay? It all starts with God's design. The gospel actually starts with God's design. It's God. It's the way He made it. We're going to be looking at Genesis. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Genesis chapter 1 and chapters 2. They tell us how the designer, that is God, made the world and how He meant it to be. And in fact, I want to submit to you that it is God's design for which we long. When we say we want relationships, when we say we want these intimate relationships, when we want things to be right, when we want safety, when we want peace, when we want security, when we want provision, we want these things. It is God's design that we're longing for. And it's not just us Christians. This is God's design that everyone's longing for. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. So everyone has this eternity within them that wants something to be better than it is, that wants the wrongs to be righted. We want that. I'll start first and keep your Bibles open here for a moment. Genesis, but Genesis 1:31. It's kind of our key verse today. It says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day." God made it, and He made it good. He made this world, and He made it good. He made the things that are in it, and He made it good. You're included in that. Your life is included in that. Your family is included in that. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. I'll get to verse 26 in a moment. But for first, let's look. Number 1, Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light." Verse number 6. "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it be separated from the waters from the waters." In verse number 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and then let the dry land appear." In verse number 11, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetations, plants yielding its seed and fruit bearing trees, or trees bearing fruit, in which there is seed, each according to its kind." In verse number 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens and separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons." In verse number 20, "And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly over the earth across the expanse of the heavens." In verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts, the earth, according to their kinds." And then verse 26 is where we're going to start reading. See, God has a plan. God made it. God has a design, and He made it the way that He wanted it to be made. We lose track of that. We lose sight of that. The Bible says in verse number 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him male and female. He created them. Verse number 28. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the birds and over the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth. And every tree with its seed and its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the ground or on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so." In our verse, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, It was very good. Not just good, very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Keep reading to verse 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day the God finished His work and of all He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. Skip down to chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, "The Lord God took the man, He put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Look at verse number 24. "Therefore the man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God had a purpose and a plan. God made it according to His design. God's design. And you, again, are a part of that. God designed the world. He designed it good. He designed it very good. And because God made us in His image, because He made us, and we just read it, it's the reason I read these things, He made us in His image. He has designed us to accomplish what He's given us to accomplish. He has designed us to glorify Him. He has designed us to represent Him, to magnify back to Him His attributes that are holy and wonderful and worthy of worship. That's what He's done. He has made us in His image. We are the pinnacle. You are the pinnacle. The people, human beings, are the pinnacle of God's creation, because we are made in His image and designed by God to represent Him and to have the dominion. God designed our gender identity. He says He made them male and female. God designed our families and said that we should be fruitful and multiply and even have families. He designed our work life and says that we are to have that dominion over the earth. He has designed our rest and relaxation in telling us that God rested on the seventh day. He commands us to rest. He has a design for our marriages that we are to leave our parents and cleave to one another. We are to love one another as Christ loved the church. The husband laying down his life for his wife the same way that Christ laid down his life for the church. The same way. God has a plan and He has a design for all of it. He has a design for your life too. Specifically for your life. God's design is to have a relationship with us. The Bible says that God would come and in the cool of the day He would talk and look for Adam and Eve after they had sinned. God came looking in the cool of the day. He wanted to have a relationship. God was talking to Adam and Eve. God had interacted with them. He wanted a relationship. They knew God, like you and I know one another. It's pretty cool. But we know what happened, though. That relationship was broken. Because they did something that God had asked them not to do. He gave them every plant, every tree that was bearing fruit and seed. And He gave them everything they could eat except for one thing. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate of that, the Bible said they surely die. And that death was a separation from God, a separation from Him. It resulted in a brokenness. Adam and Eve, they sinned. They sinned. They went away from God's design. Eat of all these plants, but don't eat of this one. They thought to themselves, you know what? I want to reject God's design and substitute for it our own. Lord, I don't want to follow your plan anymore. I want to follow my plan. I want to follow what I want to do. What do we call that when we reject God's design and substitute for it our own? Sin. 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 When we say, we no longer want God's design. I don't want God's design for my relationships. I want to be bitter and angry and mad. It's sin. When I say, God, I don't want your design for my marriage, it turns into adultery or pornography or sex addiction or things like that. God, I don't want your design for my work life. I want to trample on people. I want to get my way to the top. I want to take advantage of people. God, I don't want your design on me. And we all fall into that. Every single person, the Bible says, every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. God made us to reflect His image. That is His glory, His image. And all of us have said, God, I reject your design. I reject your glory and the purpose for which you made me. And I'm going my own way. The Bible word for that is sin. And sin always, always, always leads to brokenness. Sin leads to brokenness, does it not? Broken fellowship with God, broken fellowship with one another, broken relationships, broken lives, leads to everything. And we start trying to fix that brokenness, don't we? You know, we start trying to fix it. We do all kinds of things. We try some alcoholism. We try some pornography. We might even try a new spouse from time to time. We try all kinds of things to alleviate brokenness. And listen, I'm not just talking to us in this room, although it's true. I'm talking, this is for everyone. This is the gospel conversation. Because listen, and you're going to hear more about this next week. You're going to hear more about that. But this is where people are living. Every single person, whether they accept your church invite or not, whether they go to truelife.org and look up a website and watch a video or not, whether they're ever going to come or not, every single person experiences brokenness. And we try these things. We try all of these little paths to make things better, and all of those things end up in what? More brokenness. We have people trying different their relationships. They didn't follow God's plan, so it ends up in brokenness. That's divorce. They go out and they try to fix it, and they try to do things to make it better, and it doesn't. Many people, they say after the one divorce, the second marriage is even more likely to end in divorce. All the kids, that their family lives are torn apart because of that. Some people experience brokenness, and what they do, they just want to numb the pain. They just want to get rid of the pain. So what do? They start drinking and they start taking drugs. They just want to numb the brokenness pain because everyone's broken and everyone hates it and life is kind of messed up, and we all know that. People are dying of cancer. People are getting hit by drunk drivers. Kids are dying of cancer. Everything, and we try to fix it and we numb it, and then we become addicted. And it leads to more brokenness and more brokenness and more brokenness. Is that not true? And everybody's experiencing that. I'm telling you, people in the line at Walmart tell me about their brokenness. You ever had that happen? You ask them how they're doing, and you really just want, I'm good, buddy. How are you? Go right ahead. You only have two items? No. They want to tell you about their brokenness. You know, in Sunday school this morning, the disciples didn't see Jesus standing right in front of them, the opportunity they had. That's us at the grocery store line when people start revealing their brokenness, or your friends or your coworkers or things like that. And when they start revealing to you the brokenness, guess what happens? Guess what? Jesus provided a way to be healed from that. Jesus provided a way to have our sins forgiven. And what do we call that? There's a Bible word for that. It's called, kids, tell me, youth, what is it called? The gospel. That's right. The gospel. It's the gospel. That gospel is a word that means good news. There's good news. The good news is what's causing all this brokenness in the world and in our lives, there is a solution to it. And that solution is that God loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect, sinless life that you and I couldn't live. He lived a perfect life that we couldn't live. But guess what? God allowed him. He sent him to the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. To pay the penalty that we owe. To pay it. To pay it. And the Bible says if we would accept Jesus, if we would, I'm going to put the arrow here, if we would accept, the Bible says if we want to, we all realize that we're broken and we want that to change. When we're desiring change, what we're really desiring to do is to repent. Repent. It's a change of heart. I realize that I'm broken. I realize that I've sinned. I realize, but I can't fix it. I need someone else to fix it. You see, brokenness, we think of brokenness as a bad thing, but it's really a good thing. Because it's in our brokenness that God shows us our need for change. It's in our brokenness that God says, you can't keep going like this. And we listen to Him because we are indeed broken. And so that is, that change is repent. And then next is to believe. To repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To believe in Him. That He died on a cross. And listen, He did. He died for our sins. But that's not the whole gospel. He was buried. And He stayed buried for 3 days. Dead. But on the third day, He rose from the grave. That's the gospel. The third day, He rose from the grave. And that proves that everything that Jesus said about Himself was true. And everything He said He could do, He could do. Because He rose from the grave. That proves that His sacrifice was accepted. It proves that He is the Son of God. It proves that He has the power to forgive sins. He was telling people while He was on earth that He could forgive sins. He was actually forgiving people's sins. And the religious leaders got mad at Him and said, hey, you can't do that. He's like, I can't do that. I can heal them. I can forgive their sin. I can do whatever I want to do because I'm God. And when He rose from the grave, He proved that it was true. And so when you repent, you say, I want to change, Lord. I want to change. And you believe that Jesus Christ is your way. You believe that He died for you and He rose again. Then God, what God does, He saves you and He forgives you of your sin. And what He does is He gives you the ability then to recover and pursue God's design for you. That is to recover and pursue God's design for you. I should have wrote those in black. Sitting there holding the pen the whole time. Doesn't matter the color. This is the three circles. God's design. We reject it. Sin leads to brokenness. We realize through our brokenness that we need a change. We turn to God's solution, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. We turn to Him as we repent, and we believe in Him, and then He forgives us of our sin and starts working through the power of His Holy Spirit to allow us to recover and pursue God's design. That's true in salvation. That's true in your marriage difficulties. That's true in your relational difficulties, maybe with your family. That's true with addiction. That's true. This is the gospel, and it works in every aspect of our life. Just that. Did everyone get that written down? Let's leave that up. Can we just leave that up, Linda? And guess what you can do with that? You can write that on a napkin. You can write that on the back of a receipt, talking to a broken person that you meet at a restaurant. You're going to hear next week, right here, everybody's dealing with that. Everyone. Maybe you're dealing with it right now. Where do you see yourself on this? And what God does, He wants us to get back to this. And what He does here, when we recover and pursue, He sends us back out into the world. He sends us back out into the world to let other people know. That's why you can share it on a napkin with somebody, a friend, a coworker. He sends us back out. Because now you're representing Him. You're representing His glory. Now you're following His plan and His design. Hey, we're not perfect, but there's forgiveness for that. He's already taken care of that. The gospel's taken care of that. And He sends us out to represent Him. He sends us out to, what does He say? Make disciples as you're going. As you're going, make disciples. And so that's what He does. And so where are you today on this? Maybe you're over here and you're dealing with some sin, some brokenness. And you're realizing that and you're saying in your heart, man, I know I need to change and I do believe the gospel. What would prevent you today from accepting the good news that Jesus died on a cross for you and He rose again, proving that He's God and that He can forgive your sins? What would prevent you from doing that, from accepting Him? Maybe you're here right now. You say, I've never been saved. I've never had my sins forgiven. Right now, in your heart, in a moment, I'm going to pray. You can do this right here. It's not what you do. It's your heart and your yieldingness to God to say, God, I need to change, and I believe that You made it possible. You say that in your heart. You can voice it with a prayer. You can use these words. That's why I put Bible words up here. There's sin. There's repent and believe. There's recover and pursue. There's the gospel. There's the brokenness. We understand those words. You can just simply pray that, Lord, I know I've sinned. And everything I've tried just keeps making matters worse and worse. I don't know why, Lord, I ruined my family. I don't know why, Lord, I got trapped up in addiction. I don't know why, Lord, I'm in pornography. I don't know why, Lord, I'm in... And you, we know what those things are. Because I don't know why, but I realize that the more I try to fix it, the worse it gets. The more the brokenness comes. The more I hurt people, the harder my heart gets. And right now I want to confess that I believe that Jesus died for me. And He rose again. And I want to put my faith and my trust in Him. And with His help, I want to recover and pursue Your design. If you pray that in your heart, if you believe that, if you express that to God in whatever way you can express that to Him, belief, the Bible says your sin's over. It's no more. You have been forgiven. And not only have you been forgiven, now God is sending you into His world to share His gospel with others. Maybe it's to share it with other people that you've hurt. Maybe it's to share it with other people you know, but He's sending you into the world to do that. Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:19 through 20. That's three circles. That's the three circles. I pray today, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what it is, that you would accept the gospel over that thing, over that sin, over that brokenness, and the sin that led to it. You would believe in Him and experience His salvation. Let's pray.